Is it a toxic friendship, though, if she, like, hooked up with the guy I was talking to and then, like, made me the bad guy?
Did she know that you were hooking up with him?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that's a bad friend.
Is that toxic, though?
I would say it's a bad friend, but tell me about that.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. It didn't feel toxic. It felt like a fuck you.
But it sounded like she manipulated you into making you feel like the bad guy,
yes,
which is toxic.
I tried to confront her about it, and she just looked at me and was like, and got up and walked off, and I was like, why do I feel crazy? Why am I feeling insane right now?
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
It's Violet Benson, your favorite meme queen and the big sis you didn't ask for, but need. Welcome to Almost Adulting.
Almost Adulting. Almost Adulting.
Are you ready?
Hi, besties, and welcome to a brand new Almost Adulting, the largest self-love podcast and movement, your number one destination for personal growth and mental health. I am your big sister and your host, Violetta, and today my special guests are Mean Girls. Just kidding.
We are.
But they have a podcast called Mean Girls. So it's Jordan Woodruff and Alex Bennett, the co-hosts of the Mean Girl podcast, two Midwest girlies who live in New York now and talk weekly like your besties in your ears, from friendships to mental health to dating, which is why today I thought we are going to dedicate today's episode all to toxic friendships, friendship breakups. I just wanted to take a little break because I think we all constantly talk about romantic relationships and we tend to neglect platonic relationships and how much sometimes they can be even more painful and even more frustrating than romantic relationships. Would you guys agree?
1,000%.
Yes. Not all the time, but yes.
Right. Of course. The healthy ones are good.
Yeah. When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, bad.
So, okay. So welcome. How's LA treating you so far?
It's good. I've been here, what, like 24, 36 hours?
A solid 48.
Yeah.
Good 48 hours in of rain.
Time goes by so slow in LA.
That's because you're on East Coast time. And so we wake up at 7 here, but it's 10 in New York. And so like the day has started.
Yeah.
And then from there, it just crawls by because you're behind. So you don't get your morning.
Yeah. Must be hard.
Yeah, it's weird.
I went to bed at 8 p.m. last night because I was so exhausted because that's 11 in New York.
I have this thing where if I tell myself I don't believe in something, then it's not real. So like I tell myself I don't believe in jet lag. So then it just, I believe that. I also tell myself I don't believe in hangovers. So then I just pretend like it's not happening. And then I genuinely think it helps me not have jet lag.
I'm with you on the jet lag thing. Like whatever time zone I'm in.
Yeah.
So if I go to Europe or something and I land at 6 a.m. but I didn't sleep, it's morning, coffee, go.
Yeah.
Like I do the same thing.
Okay, yeah.
I just felt like the day, like in New York, the day flies. But in LA, I told Alex at 5 p.m. yesterday, I was like, how was it only 5? I feel like it's 11 at night. But it's just because everyone is like so relaxed here. And
yeah, I love New York's energy where people just move a lot. They're more honest too. Like I love in New York, people are really upfront of what they're trying to get out of you, which I have no problem. I'm always like, okay, if you need something from me, let me know upfront and I'll tell you what I can get in return.
Yeah.
So then it's an equal type of partnership versus the people are like, oh my God, let's get coffee and then you get coffee. I'd love to pick your brain. So can you help me with my business? Oh, okay. Why don't you just say that in a text? I didn't waste 15 minutes in traffic to get to you.
Pick your brain is my enemy. Like you just want to pick my brain?
Right. What does that
do
even mean?
I get to pick yours and then like, did we all just lose an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. And you know, you just from seeing you here so far, like the little that we've interacted, I think you would thrive in New York. I call it cocaine energy.
It's like, that's me.
Yeah. Very direct and just like, okay, what's like, what, give me my ROIs. Like, how do we both succeed here? LA is very like, so coffee. And I could see you being like, that's it. No.
Yeah, well, I'm an immigrant. So being foreign, it gives me a different personality than an LA personality.
Yeah, you don't have the LA. You're a bit more New York.
Why don't we dive into friendships? Okay, so would you guys say do you make friends easily?
I get along with people easily, but I don't like a lot of people. Like I don't consider a lot of people my friend. Like I take that word more serious than some people might.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, you meet some people, you meet one day, you're like, my best friend. And I'm like, no, like I have to know you for a few years. Like you have to have credentials to be my best friend.
Do you feel like making friends has changed for you guys over the years? Like maybe it was easier when you were younger. Maybe it's harder now because you take it more seriously. Or has it always been the same?
So I, in college and right out of college, I was 100 dull pennies. Does that make sense? So, okay. So I'm going to use the equation here of like a dollar, right? So 100 pennies or 4 shiny quarters. So like the 4 versus like the 100.
Okay.
So when I was in college, I had 50 friends and they were all my best friends. And I spread myself really thin and everyone was my best friend. And right out of college, same thing. Then the older I got, I was like, wait a second. And they would weed themselves out and it was like a lot more problems. And that's when I realized like I'm more of a small but loyal. So I'm the 4 quarters girl. So now the way I make friends has totally changed.
Same. Got it. At what point did that start to change for you guys? Like what age would you say you were?
27.
I honestly have always been like that. Like I've never had like I'm more of a lone wolf with like maybe 2 to 3 friends. I've been like that my entire life versus like I've never had the large group of girlfriends.
Mm. Research shows actually that between ages 20 to 25, that's the age that A, you are constantly changing as a person. Every year you're a different person. And that is around the age you hit around 23, 24, 25, 6, 7. So between I would say then 24 to 27 is when you lose a majority of friendships and gain friendships, lose more game. So a lot of people feel so frustrated during that age gap because they think, what's wrong with me? I'm doing something wrong. But they don't realize this is insanely common. This is around the time that you're starting to grow as a person. And a lot of times you and your friends begin to grow apart.
Yeah, it can be a lonely time too.
I think it's because when you're in college, especially in America, you're inherently not forced with making a lot of decisions. So you can be a people pleaser. Like I was a people pleaser for that period of my life. And I never had to think like what was actually important to me. Cause like you just go to class and you can kind of go through the motions. And then when you graduate and when you hit 25, 26, 27, what happens? People get jobs. So the playing field's not even anymore. So some people are more successful right out of the gates, less. And so you have to say like, now you're looking at your values and your friends and who's supportive of you versus who could be jealous of you. And it's like the playing field just went from we were all even to now like you kind of eat what you kill. Mm. And I think it changes a lot of dynamics.
What would you say you guys' longest friendships are?
Me and my best friend have been best friends since I was since I was 7 years old and I'm 28 now.
Whoa.
Yeah. So what?
21.
Yeah, 21 years. We've been best friends.
My maid of honor.
Since 7, how old are you? 28?
I'm 28, yeah.
Okay, so do that right.
My maid of honor and my very best friend today was in the waiting room when I was born, so my whole life. And she's never not been my best friend.
Wow, look at you guys. Yeah, my longest friendship is one of my first American friends that I made when I came to America in high school. And we're still best friends.
I love that.
So that's nice that we can still maintain those friendships.
Do you think it's a flag, so to speak, if somebody is like, most of my friendships fell apart in like my longest friendships like 2 years or not?
That's a great question. I almost want to say yes because I have that one friendship.
Because we're all safe.
Yeah, but if that friendship was gone, the truth is I have outgrown most of my friends, but when I came here, so I think that's also often a lot of people also move to different states or different countries. And I don't want to discourage people by saying that because everyone has different circumstances.
Yeah.
But I have heard that numerous times, whether it's TikTok and other places where it's a green flag when people are able to maintain their friendships since a young age. But that's also one of the reasons a lot of people end up staying in toxic friendships because they're worried that people are going to judge them if they make new friendships.
Yeah.
In the current stage that they're in.
Yeah, but that's a bad friend, don't you think, if somebody judges you for making a new friendship?
Right, but everyone, you know, at the end of the day, some people are so afraid constantly of what other people think.
And I went through that. Like, whenever I had to shed some friends, like, I like how you said you outgrow the friendship, which is good on, like, both sides, right? Because, like, the growth could be either way. But I love the thought of thinking about that time for me where I was so afraid to do it because I'm, like, on the other side. What if I don't make any more friends? Like, what if it doesn't get better than this? And it's like, you're so afraid.
Right. Because no one really gives you advice or what to do when it comes to friendships. You know, especially even if you're going through a bad friendship or you're going through a friendship breakup, it's more, well, just get over it. versus if you were, I don't want to leave my boyfriend because what if I don't find love again?
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Everyone's going to give you advice on that. But for you being, well, what if I don't make friends again? It's like, you're being so silly. There's more important things like love.
Yeah. What if I walk into the, this is a big one. What if I walk into the room and they're there and she hates me and I hate her because the friend, we outgrew the friendship. And it's like, no one has to hate anybody. It doesn't have to be like that.
Exactly. Do you guys think it then matters the length of a friendship based on that equates to how valuable a friendship is?
I don't think so. I feel like it depends on your situation. Because like Alex and I have known each other only for what, 2.5 years? But I feel like we know each other better than most of our friends know us because of the situations we've been in.
Yeah, I think it depends. You can have a best friend that you go out with, I think. And I don't think that the relationship's going to be as deep as the one that you talk to and you go to breakfast with. Like, that could be, in some instances, more meaningful just because of the conversation. So I think, like, more the impact, less the span of time.
Have you guys always been able to kind of put your friendships in different categories? Or is that something, because not everyone does that. So that's why I think a lot of times there's issues and potential issues in friendships.
Yeah, I feel like not as much now because I have a smaller group of friends and they kind of fit all the buckets. But like Alex was saying in college, it's like if you're going out friends, you have your sorority sisters, you have your friends that you have maybe like girl night, wine nights with or sleepovers with. But now I consider like my 5 closest friends all that one person. Because I just spend time with like 5 people versus in college, I spent time with maybe like 10, 15.
Yeah, I was not always able to put them into categories because I didn't have categories. Like, my life was so linear, and I...
Were you in a sorority?
Yeah.
That's why. Okay, got it.
Yeah, so...
You were buying your friends.
Yeah, I literally... My dad... I didn't even
buy them. We talked about this.
My dad bought them, and it's like... Oh, I popped off on the whole sorority life the other day, and I just, like, ricochet shot to the sororities. But, like, I was so linear, so I didn't have categories to even put them in. And then the older you get and the more you experience things, I'm like, oh, now we are in categories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the only problem is sometimes you're not having those conversations with your friends on what categories they're in. And that's where probably miscommunications occur.
Yeah, there can be problems with that. Because if you have a friend that like you consider just going out friend, but they consider you as like they want to tell you everything. It's can be an exhausting friendship because one is giving more than the other.
Right.
And you're like, you're just my going out friend. I don't want to have to like sit there with you and be your shoulder you cry on when your breakup happens. Because like you aren't the person I would call.
Which sounds awful to say out loud, but it's the truth because you have different friends you go to for different things.
Yeah.
And you don't really, there's no contract that you give in the beginning of a friendship. Like, here are my expectations and my needs of what I think we're going to be. So I think we're the type of best friends who will be talking every single day. I'm going to text you. What should I eat for lunch? And things like that. And you think our friendship is more like, I'll talk to you on the weekend.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, that's actually such a good point because... Okay, so I went through a divorce last year and one of my friends called me and was like, I'm just offended that you're not leaning on me here. And I was like, oh my God, like why would I, you're not my, and then that's when it dawned on me, like there was 3 friends that I really strategically wanted to talk to it about. Mm-hmm. And she thought she should be one of those, aww, which only came from a place of love.
Yeah, that does sound really loving. Like she wanted to share your pain with you.
It was only out of kindness. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and it was the first time in my life where I've had to say my pain's like bigger than that. So it's like your job as a friend there is to let me navigate that. Like, because typically I was like, this is really sad. So I felt bad. And then my therapist was like, this is the one, like this is the instance where her duty as the friend is to say.
To actually just accept what you're willing to give her. Like, yes, she could be offended, but now she let you know, I am here if you need me. But then she has to understand that it's not about her feelings. It's about you. Like, she is choosing to be there for you, but if you're not accepting it, she shouldn't take offense because you're the one going through the pain.
Yeah, and typically we're really quick to be like, okay, let me call you, like, let me catch you up. But I'd never been in that, like, level of pain where I was like, wait, what? Like, I can't. And my therapist was like, this is the one, you don't have to. And the friend roles kind of switch. And so it was a really interesting lesson to learn in terms of, like, friends and boundaries almost. And she did a great job. She was like, just know I'm here.
Oh, okay. Like, wow. So she didn't take offense.
She at first was very offended. And I said, you got, like, I can't walk you through this because I can't walk me through it. So how could I possibly walk you? And you're not my friend that I'm leaning on in this scenario.
But she accepted it.
She was like, I'm here.
that's how you know it's a good friendship, where you're able to communicate something that otherwise could become a conflict. And instead she said, oh, okay, I'm here. And she accepted your boundaries.
It would have been a deal breaker had she not.
Of course.
You know?
Because you were going through a lot. You weren't thinking about that friendship.
Right? It is it's the craziest thing. I think it takes adversity to that level to say, this is where we can break up if we have to. Or this is where we can say, I think we'll be together forever.
Did that make you value that friendship more by how understanding she was? Or you weren't thinking about that?
It did. It took me a while, like probably till today, for me to really like reflect back on it and be like, oh,
perfect.
Yeah.
I'm like learning things on the spot.
Yeah, but I do like, no, at the time I could recognize what she did. Mm-hmm. She went to selflessness and defaulted to that, which was important in that moment. And she had no context of what I was going through because she hadn't felt it.
But now you kind of also know that that means that if she's ever going through something, based on how she views your friendship, maybe she'll need you there.
Yes, and that's a really good point, because now I have a lot of empathy for my friends that don't lean on me, of just sending them texts of being like, hey, just know I love you and I'm here, aww, but you don't need to tell me.
Okay, that's really sweet. I think part of self-care, it's not only just, you know, breaking the bank by overly shopping too much online or going to therapy or doing a bubble bath. I think self-care is also taking care of yourself where you feel beautiful and good about yourself, whether it's your nails, your hair, your makeup, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a special occasion. I think sometimes we wait for a really special occasion to treat ourselves. And I say, why not treat yourself now with Glam Squad? I've been using Glam Squad, I would say, around the time I started daddy issues. So that's 8 to 9 years ago. Glam Squad was founded on the belief that salon quality at-home glam services should be accessible to everyone. They have built an elite team of beauty pros who come right to your home, office, hotel, whatever it is, with on-demand hair, makeup, nail services, just to get you ready. And again, you don't have to wait for a special occasion. You can get your nails done whenever you feel like it. You can get a blowout just to feel beautiful. You can do your makeup for dinner with your loved one or just to be beautiful for the whole day. It doesn't matter. And you get to pick your favorites, and then the same person will then come to your house, and it's super affordable. I have used Glam Squad when I've been out of town in Miami, New York, Vegas, and I've also used them in Los Angeles. I personally love them. I can't say enough good things about them. They have nail services available in New York, LA, Miami, Dallas, and they have services available for the hair and makeup in loads of different cities. You can just check out on their app, Glam Squad app, or you can go on glamsquad.com to check it out. And again, they do hair, makeup, nails. The hair includes blowouts, dry styling, updos, and so much more. So, for a limited time right now, Glam Squad is giving my listeners $20 off of any service. And by the way, the service is already pretty reasonable and pretty low. To get an extra $20 off of that service is bomb. It's practically free. Okay? So this is valid whether or not you have booked with them before. So go visit glamsquad.com or Glam Squad app and use my code adulting at checkout for $20 off of any service. Treat yourself. The other day, I was really spiraling and just felt like everything was the worst and not working out. And I had a therapy session that day. And when I got on the Zoom call with my therapist from Talkspace, I was like, you know what? This isn't a good time. Maybe we shouldn't be talking. Because for me personally, when I'm spiraling or in a bad mood, my instinct is to shut down and not talk to anyone. And he said, this is actually the best time when we should be talking. And it was so crazy. But every time, it's like I've been doing therapy now for, I think, close to 4 years. And every time it shocks me. The therapy, guess what? It works. Because when we start talking about not only why I was spiraling and we kind of figured out different things and he was validating my feelings, but when we also connected where my emotions were coming from in my body and kind of identified the emotions, I was able to release the pain and I was able to release the frustration and I felt so much better. So my point here is that if you think that seeing a therapist or psychiatrist will be helpful for you, but let's say you don't have time to find one and to meet with them, or maybe you think there's no way they can help you, or you think you can't afford them, guess what? You can, because you should try Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help that you want easy, accessible, and affordable. sometimes people wait until something really bad happens to talk to a therapist, or like me, you rather not even do that then. But why wait? You can get a therapist right now through Talkspace. Therapy can help you shift your perspective. It can help you find tools to cope in difficult times. And it's honestly just a guiding light. Getting started is the most important part. Talkspace makes it easy and affordable for you, though. It's incredibly convenient to, one, have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home, which is what I do. With Talkspace, you can also sign up online and you get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. Talkspace lets you send messages to your therapist so you don't have to wait for your next session. And it can help you with any specific challenges that you might be facing. It's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and so much more. And as a listener of this podcast, you will get $80 off of your first month with Talkspace when you go to talkspace.com/adulting. So to match with the licensed therapist today, go to talkspace.com/adulting to get $80 off of your first month. Not only do you get to show support for my show, but you also get to show support for your mental health. So again, that is talkspace.com/adulting. Do it. I promise you, you won't regret it.
What is your definition of then a good friend or a good friendship?
Oh gosh, I feel like for me, it's the people that I can be, it's kind of similar to like a romantic relationship, like baseline of someone you can be 100% yourself around. Like you don't feel like you have to be this like inauthentic version of yourself, and also a friend who doesn't add stress onto your life. Like if I'm 28 and if I have a friendship that's causing me stress, I'm okay cutting the ties, versus when I was like 18, I was like, no, I'll keep you around because I don't want to be friendless.
Right. Or I used to, when I was younger, used to be like, oh, it must be my fault. I must be doing something wrong. Let me figure out what I'm doing wrong to fix this.
Yeah. Like I'm more secure. I can be like, hey, you just don't serve me or give like fill my cup. So I'm okay.
What's your definition of a good friend or friendship?
So I think definitions of friendships are defined by like who you are, like what you require. So for me, it's, I think, three things. One is they believe in me more than I believe in myself, because I kind of need that. Yeah. So if, and I have those friends where when I'm down, they're like, no, because you can. And I'm like, wow. And then they are, so sometimes I can struggle being 100% myself. So my friends are unapologetically themselves, which gives me permission to be myself. So they show up as themselves. And then I'm like, I'll do the same, because I think it's cool that they did. And then, you know, we just don't have to talk a lot, and it doesn't like, we can pick up where we left off no matter what. And like, that's my person.
Okay. That's two. You said three.
It's that not three, right?
You said, oh,
believe
okay.
in me.
Believe in me. Show up as themselves.
And then like, they're okay with me going dark for like 2 weeks.
That's interesting. You guys then have different needs in your friendships.
Yeah. But we're also very different people.
Right, but that was really interesting, your definitions. Because I would say I can relate more to you, where just don't bring me too much stress and let's just be easygoing and chill. And you're kind of in a way where you're a little more dependent on your friends, even though you said we don't have to talk all the time. It's in a way where I don't always believe in myself, and your expectation of friendships then sometimes lift me up, which you didn't say that.
Yeah, because I feel like I have learned through a lot of therapy.
I also don't expect that from friends.
I can't find that anyone but myself. And if I try to find that other people, I just let myself down, or I have unrealistic expectations for my friends and like they're exhausted by me. So I've just had to learn like only I can find that. And
you've had experiences where you felt like your friends were exhausted by you?
No, it, more of like I've had experiences where a friend has fully exhausted me, and I've been so scared to rely on my friends too much, because I'm like, I can never be that friend where I was so exhausted by that I had to cut ties with.
God, you've had such a bad experience in a friendship where now you always get scared to repeat that.
Yes.
Do you want to elaborate? What was that about?
Yeah. So it was so odd. It was like a friendship that I had when I was in high school, and everything was great, because like in high school, what do you know? Like you love everyone, and they're like, yeah, they'll go out with me. I like them. But then we became friends again during COVID, and it was somebody who, she was going through a really bad breakup, and she didn't have a lot of friends, And so she was just like struggling with her mental health, but she was so draining and exhausting. Like she would call me during the workday and be like, I need you to pick me up. I need you to come over. Like I need to be around someone right now. Or like we were driving one time and she was about to have a panic attack driving me. And I was like, you need to pull the car over right now. Or she would like all of a sudden just be bawling and I would have to like walk her through it. And it got to the point where I was like, you... And it wasn't just me. It was like a few of my other friends too. So I had to talk to them and be like, you guys, is this a me thing? Or do you feel the same way? And they're like, we all feel this way. Wow. And it got to the point where I was like, I care and love you so much, but your mental health is affecting my mental health to the point where I need to take care of myself so we can't continue this friendship until you take care of yourself. Because I can't be your therapist. I can't be your mom. I can't be your doctor, this or that. So I had to remove that friendship. And it like scared me for a while to ever rely on other people because I was like, I don't want them to ever think of me the way that like to think of me as like an exhausting friend.
How does she take your feedback?
So it was hard because at first I was the one friend who kind of like took the lead and my other friends didn't really initiate it. So it was kind of awkward because I was like, she kept hanging out with them. So I was like, I was the odd man out for a while. I was like, okay, well, I'll just like not come around. And then eventually my other friends were like, okay, I can't play this game anymore. And thankfully, because of COVID, it was just like, she handled it fine, but it got awkward for a while because she lived with one of my best friends. Mm. And now she doesn't even live in the same state. Like she moved and...
Do any of you guys still keep in contact with her or not really?
No, unfortunately, like all my friends had to like cut ties with her. She is friends with one of my friends, but that's because they live together.
That's really sad. I think we always have stories about someone else being toxic or whatever it is. But a lot of times, one thing, based on the research that I've done on toxic friendships, a lot of times we think, oh, our friend must be toxic. But there's sometimes you can show up as a toxic friend based on the dynamic you have with your friends because you're not understanding boundaries. So sometimes a person is not a bad person and they're not genuinely toxic, but they could be going through something or your dynamic is just not meshing well and it becomes a toxic friendship. So I do feel bad for her, but it does seem like... She was crossing boundaries and you became her everything.
Yeah. And that's where I really learned that you need to create boundaries with friends. And I don't look at her as a bad person at all. Like she was going through so much mentally.
Did you feel guilty?
Oh yeah. I felt guilty for a long time, but my therapist like walked me through and she's like, if you continue to stick it out, you are going to spiral and you're going to be the one who's struggling with your mental health.
When did you finally decide, at what point did you finally decide to kind of, okay, I have to just be honest with her?
She was like bringing up, so her trauma was triggering my past trauma and it was causing me to have a little bit of like my old panic attacks coming back. And like, I was like starting to isolate myself and it just got to the point where my mental health had never been that bad since starting therapy. And my therapist like had to talk to me and she's like, you gotta like really figure out if you want to keep going with this friendship because like you're going downhill. And it took about like 6 to 8 months for me to realize it in the friendship. And then as soon as we cut ties, yes, it was extremely uncomfortable and awkward and my anxiety was still bad, but it was one of the best things I ever did for my mental health.
So when you guys finally cut ties, you felt relieved?
It was like almost ending a toxic romantic relationship.
It's one of the signs of needing to pay attention to when you end a friendship. What do you feel afterwards? Do you feel guilt and regret, or do you feel a sense of relief like, oh, I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders?
I felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders, especially, this sounds bad, but like my other friends would come to me and complain what she was doing. I was like, I did my job. I cut ties. Like, you guys can deal with the anxieties yourself because I chose to remove myself.
Did you right away feel relief, or did you feel guilty for feeling relieved at first?
No, I felt relief right away because it was so long-winded. Like, it was like 8 months and I was like, because you know when you're in a romantic relationship, you break up so many times and one time you break up and you're like, wait, I'm actually good.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Mm. Did you guys ever have an experience where it wasn't a toxic friendship, but you were just slowly, for whatever reason, growing older and growing apart with your friends? And then how did you guys handle it? Why don't you go?
Yes. So the growing apart thing is like really real for me right now because I was born and raised in Oklahoma. which is like Midwest values, wonderful place. But now I live in New York, and since the divorce, like, it's become very clear that I'll never live there again. Because with my ex, like, my fast track was back to Oklahoma City, and I would have lived there in 5 years probably. And now I've had to kind of sort through this time in my life where it's like, I'm never going to live there again. And some of my best friends that will be my best friends forever are still there, and I will always love them. And, like, they are fabulous, and they were so important for a certain phase of my life. And they would say the same thing about me. But now we sit in a place where we have a lot less in common. They are really good people. We had a really good friendship, but, like, growing apart is just staring at us in the face. And sometimes I'll wake up and I'll be sad about that, but it's the life that I want to live. If I think about where I want to land in 10 years, it's going to be different from where they want to land in 10 years. And so I'm sort of in this, like, you know, I'm 30, but I'm making new best friends because of where life is going to take me now.
Sometimes it's not both of them realizing you're growing apart. Only one of you realizes this. So would you say you and your friends all realize at the same time, oh, we're just growing apart, we don't have much in common? Or so no one got offended, it was just as cordial as possible? Or do you ever have an experience where you were growing apart, you guys had less things in common to talk about, but you had to express that to one of your friends?
So I had to express it to one, because I think what happens is, when you start to grow apart from a friend, you both start to think, like, someone's doing something wrong, as opposed to, like, this could just be okay and a really natural thing that happens, and we could keep in touch, like, once every quarter. But you, like, start to check the box in the friendship. So it's like we're texting each other or calling each other, being like, how are you? So what'd you do today? And it's like, I'm saying what I did today, and she's saying what she did today. And it's like, okay. Like, no, there's no follow-up question. Like, the synergy's not there. It's not like, I went here, and she's like, oh, my God, I went there yesterday. It's like, I'm in New York, you're in Oklahoma. And we don't have any overlap in our lives, and we're still calling each other, forcing it because we're too afraid to just look at what's happening.
Right. And as humans, we tend to just assume, we tend to be self-centered in our own way, where we assume, well, what did I do wrong? Why is this person validating everything I've ever felt about myself deep down? Like, why are they not calling me as much, without even realizing that it's just a natural growing apart versus you didn't do anything wrong. You just have nothing in common.
Like, no, I think we're so quick to say conflict is a bad thing, or not talking as much equals, like, hate. And it's like, not at all. Like, let's just accept it for what it is. We're both, like, I love you, you love me, I'll always love you. Mm-hmm. But every time we call each other, it's to keep what alive? Like, we're just afraid of being like, yeah, we grew apart. Because you think, like, a friendship ending or outgrowing it is a bad thing, when I think it can be, like, a really positive thing, because...
Yeah, but how are you guys then able to keep maintain your longest type of friendship, where you're clearly doing different things in your life versus these friends that you grew apart with? What's the difference?
Those are, like, different people. Like, I think that is a different breed. And, like, the fact that the three of us have long friendships, I think, is rare.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't talk
about everything with my best friend. It's like, she's like my sister, but I don't talk about with her about, like, work things and things like that.
That was my point with, like, we don't have to talk that much.
Yeah.
Like, I could not talk to my very best friend for a month, see her, and we could go on a 3-day trip and you wouldn't think a thing changed. But, like, you'll know more about me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got those friends that know more about your day-to-day life. You talk to more. But, like, my best friend is that person.
But I would say one thing that made me sad. I remember a while back when I interviewed her in my podcast in, like, a little friendship thing. And then I asked, what do you think I need as a friend? And she said, if you want to be Violet's best friend, one thing you have to understand is that you need to give her space. And then she'll be the best friend ever. And that, in a way, a little bit broke my heart a little bit when I heard her say that. Because it made me feel really guilty.
Like, oh, really? That you need space?
Yeah.
Why?
It made me think about my other friendships if they didn't work out, because I felt suffocated or overwhelmed. It made me feel guilty. Although I appreciated how well she knows me, but I don't know, it made me feel really bad.
But I get that, because if someone makes me feel suffocated, I can't be around them.
Yeah. It's so hard to navigate when all of us have different personalities, different childhood traumas, like, so many different things, and we're constantly projecting, or we're constantly hurting each other's feelings. It's hard, and it's hard when you're a people pleaser, mm-hmm. and you're always thinking about everyone else's feelings. But yeah, that was interesting.
No, I think it's cool that your best friend nailed that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I like that.
Like, better for her to get it right. And I don't think you should apologize or, like, feel bad for, like, that's who you are. And she was right.
She is right.
She was right. She's right.
We've been best friends for so long that we only had one fight one time through our friendship.
That's incredible.
What was it?
Let's see. We've been friends now. Sorry, I was counting in Hebrew. We've been friends now for 19, 20 years.
Wow.
And it was when I wasn't, she didn't make me a bridesmaid for her wedding. And normally I don't really talk about feelings, especially not back then, but it really hurt my feelings and I wasn't expecting to be so hurt. And I just didn't know how to deal with those emotions. I was just so shocked because I've never experienced pain with a friendship. Because I grew up with such serious daddy issues that I only always really cared more about my boyfriend because I had a boyfriend for so long. And I was just like, that's love and friendships are just friends. And then when that happened, my heart was broken and I was more sad about it than I would be sad with a boyfriend stuff. And that even surprised me because I didn't know how, I didn't even know who to go to for advice because I didn't know you could experience a type of heartbreak from a friend. But when I finally told her, then of course she was like, listen, I'm Italian. I have 75,000 cousins. They all have to be.
That makes so much sense.
Literally, the minute she said, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know like you would care. Actually, I guess we had two things. And then the second time we ever had a disagreement was more recent where I kind of disappeared. And then when we finally met up again, she asked me what? And I said, oh my God, it's so silly. I feel embarrassed. I was worried that you were going to ask me about my breakup, and I felt really embarrassed about it. And like sometimes we make jokes about it, and like it wasn't going to be funny for me at that moment. So I didn't want to like kill the mood. So then I just, and she's like, well, we're friends. You have to tell me. And that was really nice. I think it's cool how with your friendships or just as people who understand you, you get to continue to learn about each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool that she interpreted it like you shelling off or like going away, and she was probably like, what did I do wrong, when it had everything to do with you?
Yeah, well, she was mad at me. She thought I didn't care.
Yeah.
And then when I finally said, can we talk, and I said, oh, you're gonna think it's so stupid, and she goes, what is it? And she thought she did something wrong. And I go, I was very embarrassed that I was going through a breakup, and I know we always make fun of each other, and I just knew I wouldn't be able to handle you making jokes about me about my breakup. I felt like I failed. And she was just like, but I'm your childhood best friend. Like, you can tell me. Like, I would understand. She's like, that's so silly. You took space from me because of that. Like, I wouldn't have made those jokes. And I'm just like, damn. Sometimes I just forget that if you just communicate, it's so simple. Yes.
I think that is so many friendships, though, where if you wouldn't have the conversation and it had to do with you, like you were embarrassed, but she's mad at you thinking like you just weren't talking to her.
Yeah.
But it was you feeling like another feeling, and you guys are cool because you guys had enough EQ to have the combo together and like you got to the other side. But a lot of times I think we're quick to be like, I'm so mad at her. Like, she's not talking to me, but it's like she's hurting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I honestly, even right now, mentioning my friendship with her, I feel this endearment towards her. It made me realize what a great friend she is, that she's so understanding.
That's good.
The second layer is usually the good layer. Like, I think up top we go to like anger and we're just like, she's just not talking to me. And it's like, go one more deeper.
Exactly.
She could be hurting.
Right. Or really, if you guys are growing apart, then you're growing apart. What are your thoughts on people, friendships, and growing apart? So nothing bad is happening. It's not toxic, but you're growing apart.
Yeah, no, I think that, like we said on, I think the clip you referred to earlier on Mean Girl Pod was like, if you're not losing friends, you're not growing up. And I wish I would have framed it more of like, if you're not growing apart from friends, you're not growing up. Because I don't like the term losing friends. I think like Alex said it perfectly. Like, if you, like throughout life, like you shouldn't have to be like, we're not friends anymore. It's just like, We're friends, but we're not going to talk every day. Like, I'm similar to Alex, where I grew up in Minnesota. I went to school in North Dakota. So all of my friends from college and high school are married with kids or in very serious relationships. I just got in a relationship about 6 months ago. I was single for 5 years. So I was in a such different place. I lived in New York. My day-to-day life was like going out, hooking up with guys, like having fun, while all my friends back home were like taking care of their kids, doing family things. And when we would talk in FaceTime, we didn't have really anything to talk about because it'd be about the kids, or it would just be not uncomfortable, but it wouldn't be as fun because like their pride and joy were their kids and their like parent monumental moments, and mine was like, want to hear my story about a guy I hooked up with last night? And I love them to death and they love me to death and I would do anything for them. But like our friendships have grown apart. And I think one day they'll come back when I have kids. And like, I can tell they're coming back a little bit more now that I'm in a serious relationship because we have more to talk about. But I don't think there's anything bad about it. I think it's bad when it's like you have the friends that you're always like, I hate them. We're like officially never friends anymore. It's like, why do you have so many of those? Like just like have slow like growing apart.
Well, just because you're experiencing the growing apart doesn't mean the other person. Sometimes people are looking for closure because they view friendships sometimes even the way a romantic relationship. So, you know, just the same way, it's kind of be telling a lot of people that, well, if your boyfriend just feels like you guys are growing apart, why are you getting mad if he's not telling you hello? People coined the term ghosting for that.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people view that as ghosting because it's kind of like, well, tell me if you don't want to be the same type of friend anymore. But that's hard because no one likes, quote unquote, because it's conflict. It's uncomfortable.
And I think that's like a big thing, like you learn by age. Because when I was younger, it was always like cutting the friendship off. And now it's like we're growing apart because like we're growing up, we're becoming healthier. We don't rely on our friends as much as we did when we were younger. Because like when I was in high school, it was like, we're not friends anymore. We're not talking. But now it's like, we're just growing apart.
Do you think there's something to say about the fact that is it hard to be friends with your old friends who are now married with children if you guys don't have children? Because I have noticed a lot of times people talk about issues how they grow apart or their friends with babies make them feel like the single girls, they feel as if they have nothing in common or they feel like their friends with the babies forgot about them. While the friends with the babies say, well, you're not making an effort to get to know my kids and blah, blah, blah. Like, do you think that really drives friendships apart if someone suddenly has a child and you don't have a child?
I don't think it's driven any of my friendships apart. I think it's allowed my friendships to grow apart, but like only because we are currently valuing different things in our lives. Like they value their kids and I love their kids, but we don't have a lot to talk about because they'll tell me about like daycare or this or that. And I'm like, I don't have any stories or any advice with that. And like, you don't always want to hear about like the going out and the partying. But like I said, now that I have a boyfriend, I can tell me and my friends from back home have more to talk about because they're like, tell me about your relationship. Like maybe we can do like a couple's trip and we have more things to do together.
Got it. So how do you guys then have you ever tried to set actual boundaries in your friendships or is it more just you have an understanding, the type of friendships that you have?
Oh, I was going to say something on the mom point really quick, actually.
Oh, yeah.
What? I think both of us just like not having kids and having a lot of friends with kids. Mm-hmm. I don't think like we necessarily grow apart from them, but I don't think we understand what it's like to have the kid. Mm. And I've seen a lot of my friends have babies around other times other people have babies, right? And inherently like they become so close because your whole life revolves around this child. And it's everything. And it's like you then have so much more in common with the mom going to daycare also.
Right.
And so it's not like that we fall to second, but just like they just bond so much stronger with somebody that has that in common with them. Yeah. Which I actually think makes having kids really fun.
Yeah.
Because then, like my mom always said, oh, my best friends instantly became mom friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, that just makes so much sense because for happy hour, for example, if everyone has like a toddler and like you just are having wine night or like going on wine walks, that's a lot more fun than your single friend who's like, I'm just pre-gaming to go to the club. And it's like, yeah, we're all not on the same page here. Like, do your mom. Like, and if the kid needs to be like burped or something, like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
But, and it's a bit, like, I don't know if you've ever felt this, but sometimes I'm like, I'm just a little awkward in this scenario.
Yes. No, that's, you said that perfectly. Yes. I agree with that 100%.
I'm like, I'm going to fumble the bag here. But like the other moms that have done it are like, I got it. Like, give me the kid.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times people who don't have children while their friends have children may also feel they think that their friends who have kids are judging them. But in reality, it's a projection where they're feeling a certain type of way because no one's saying anything. It just, that's why I think sometimes be like, well, they're just so busy with their kids. And just because I don't have kids, they think like they're better than me or something. And I don't think a lot of times the case, my best friend, the one from childhood, she has two kids.
Yeah.
And yeah, we don't do play dates.
Yeah. I think you're right. It's a projection. on us. It's on us. I don't think these moms have like enough time to care.
Yeah.
But we're all sitting there like, are they thinking I'm off my timeline?
Just because of what we were taught since children as women.
Yes. And it's like, they don't care about our timeline.
Exactly.
But we're like, they care.
Yeah.
And they're like,
they're judging me. They think they're better than me.
Yeah.
Because I'm working and I didn't choose. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't choose to pop babies at 20 years old. Fuck you. And it's like, right. What are you talking about?
And the mom's like, no, I like love hearing about your career. Like, I'm not mad. Yeah. And we're like,
I just want to sleep.
Why are you judging me? It's like, you know what?
Will you babysit with like your fresh skincare routine? And we're like, she hates me. And the mom's like, I don't hate anyone. Like, I'm a mother now.
Yeah.
So it's on us.
Okay. So I wanted to kind of move into toxic friendships. Have you guys ever experienced, would you say, a toxic friendship?
Yes.
The one that the story I told, yeah.
That Got does it. Sound like the definition of toxic, that, yeah. that gal.
Mm-hmm. She was very.
Yes, I've also had some.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to give you kind of the basic signs that you might be in a toxic friendship, and I thought we can do that fun game where you put 10 fingers up, look at the camera, and then I'll tell you to put your finger down if you've experienced this, and that's how you'll know if you've been in a toxic friendship.
Who picks the worst friends? I'm like out, and I'm like, oh.
Which, by the way, the funny thing about toxic friendships is sometimes you can be the toxic friend. You may not even realize.
No, yeah. I feel like if you run out of hands first, you're the problem.
Maybe. Okay, let's see.
I'm gonna lie. I'm just
wait, I'm gonna see.
Alex has all her fingers up. She's like,
I'm a great friend.
Nothing's ever happened to me.
Everything was always fine.
And I are like, oh fuck.
There's none left.
All right, so put your hands up. All right, put a finger down if you ever had a friend who felt like she was constantly criticizing you, your choices, your accomplishments, kind of everything you were doing was making you inadequate or insecure.
Like if our friend made us feel that way?
Yeah. No, if you made them feel that way. Like,
yeah.
Okay, put your finger down if you ever felt like you were in a one-sided friendship.
Yeah.
Put your finger down if you ever felt like your friend was constantly manipulating you to doing things you're uncomfortable with or guilt-tripping you by crossing your boundaries.
Oh, the manipulating you to do things you're uncomfortable with.
The peer pressure, man.
Put your finger down if you ever had a friend where you felt there was lack of support when it came to your goals and dreams, and they were kind of always discouraging you from pursuing your own because they wanted you to kind of be the same person you were in the past.
Yes, and don't make them feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Put your finger down if you had a friendship where it felt very competitive and jealousy was involved.
And that's not a good feeling for me.
No.
Put your finger down if you ever felt like you had a friend who you couldn't trust, whether it was with your secrets or you couldn't trust her being in a room without you and not talking badly about you.
Oh,
that's
God.
That's got to be the biggest one.
Yeah. That's scary. That's a scary friendship.
Yeah. So not being able to trust somebody just like hurts. It's like make me sick.
Put your finger down if you ever had a friend that felt like she was a little overly possessive with your time and with your attention and with your friendships. Yeah.
That's the toxic friend for me.
Put your finger down if you ever felt like you had a friend who was constantly crossing and overstepping your boundaries because her feelings came before yours.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a good one.
Put your finger down if you ever had a friend that felt like there was constant drama in her life, not just with you, but like everything in her life was always going wrong.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Rainy days.
Put your finger down if you ever had a friend where when you were done hanging out with them or talking to them, you felt incredibly drained.
Oh, yeah. Yes, totally.
Do you think I missed any? I think I'm good.
I think that
Keep
was all of them.
Keep your fingers up. Where were they?
Oh, I had zero.
Okay, two. You had zero. All right. So based on this, you were in a toxic friendship before.
Yes.
I mean, mine, that girl.
So that was your most toxic friendship
yeah.
experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think for me, definitely when you finally realize I don't trust this person in a room without me. Like when you have a friend where you sound and go, I don't trust that they would say kind things about me if I wasn't around. I feel like that's such a red flag.
Yeah.
Have you seen the meme or not the meme, but the saying that goes around that's like, choose your friends who will say your name in a room full of opportunities.
Right.
It's like the one that will go to bat, like, there's a chance here and they'll say your name there. Not because the bar for me used to be like, oh, if I like, let's say we were all three best friends. Remember at sleepovers where you used to leave and go to the bathroom and be like, they're talking about me.
Yeah.
And like you two start talking and then I come back and it's like, well, now if you leave the room, guess what you're afraid of? Us two gossiping about you.
Yeah.
Because y'all just did it. And so you know that. But it's like the bar used to be, I hope they don't talk bad about me. But I love the older we get. It's like, no, not, we know they're not talking bad about me if they're my friend, but will they throw my name in the hat?
Yeah. I had this one friend who would be like, oh my God, this one guy, when we're hanging out with that one guy. And then he was like, oh, Violet's so bubbly. Violet's so energetic. And I go, Violet? And I was just like, what is he talking about? And I go, what the fuck? Like, things like that always weirded me out. And then finally I had to.
Oh, yeah. Or it's like the worst too. Like, if us three, like Alex, like you, like told, or no, that's wrong way to say it. Like one of our friends like tells us a secret. And then she's like, don't tell anyone. Then we start hanging out with Violet. And like, I tell you. And then you're like, what the fuck? Like, she just told us not to tell anyone. So if you're telling her secrets, does that mean you're telling my secrets and everyone else's secrets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I should have done one last one. Can you put your hands up? Okay. One last one. Can you add it? And then last one, put your finger down if you ever had a friend that was constantly talking shit about all of her other friends.
Oh, red flag.
Yeah. Because you know she's talking about you.
Never fails. It's the best way to tell.
We talked about that in an episode one time. It's like gossip is like false bonding. Mm-hmm. Like the friend who just like gossips and talks shit the whole time.
Wait, I do want to cover that. Okay, so if you put all your fingers down or over five, then that means you're currently in a toxic friendship. Although it still doesn't mean that you are potentially not the toxic friend. And again, when it comes to toxic friendships, sometimes you both can be good people. You both can be healthy people. But together, for whatever reason, you're creating some unhealthy bond. And that's why the friendship is toxic. Because a lot of times people think that person is toxic. They're a bad person versus they're going through something, whatever it is. But our friendship is toxic.
Yeah.
It's not always the other person. Or I'm toxic in this friendship right now. So I have to take a step back. Because everything I asked, maybe some people were putting their finger down. It's about them.
Yeah. I could be the toxic friend in someone's story. Hopefully, if I was, it was like high school.
And I'd like to apologize recently. To that person.
Okay. But I like, what did you just say a second ago about the...
Oh, so Alex and I talked about this a while back that... gossiping is false bonding in a friendship. Like if you ever have a friend where like, if you think about it, like if you don't talk shit with them, like what else are you going to talk about? Because that's all you ever have done.
Wow. That's a really good point.
So she said, Alex said that in an episode, and ever since then I've like really thought about that, because the older we get, like we all talk shit every once in a while, but like I would think about my friends and I'm like, wait, if I like didn't talk shit with that friend, what would we talk about? And it made me like kind of like go through my friends and make sure we were all like good.
It's a Jay Shetty quote where it's like putting people, others down makes you feel like you're standing taller.
Well, if that's the only way you can feel good about yourselves by punching down.
Yeah.
Then obviously you're not doing that great in life, because no one that's doing amazing in life is really focusing on other people. And I even always pay attention that whenever I'm not doing great mentally or I'm feeling like nothing's working out, the first thing I do, I go on those Reddit things to see people talking shit about other people, because mm-hmm. it make me feel better. Suddenly I notice something and I want to gossip and all that. And usually I will catch myself. I'd be like, okay, that means I'm not doing great mentally, which is why I care so much to try to talk about someone else. But punching down or talking badly about someone else or, you know, wanting someone else to fail, it's not going to lift you up. Like, it makes no difference. And plus, my mom always taught me. Just, I mean, because we're very Russian, but my mom taught me since a young age to never talk shit about other people with anyone else except her.
So, very good point.
That's
mom.
A great point.
Because she said anything, words are like birds. Once you let it out, it's out there. It's like, and anything birds. You ever tell someone will be out there. So that's why if I ever tell people secrets or anything, I like to be in control enough that I'm aware that that will come out. I don't want, like, of course I trust my friends to keep my secrets, but just in case if it comes out, I will be okay with it. I'll be fine. And when I want it, when I'm very irritated with somebody, I go to my mom and I complain to her because she taught me that. So then no one can hold that against me.
That's a vault. That is genius of your mom.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. I like love that. And I think it's like, I think it's with every kind of relationship though, it can apply. Like coworkers, if you're sitting there shit talking like another coworker, like you're not doing better work.
Right. But that's because nothing brings people together faster than hate.
And it's false. Yeah. Like, you're not actually bonded with them when adversity hits. Like, you guys can't right. do more. Romantically, it's like, you guys are like, well, those two aren't. They have so many problems. It's yeah. like, you're not getting a better relationship. You're yeah. just, you think you are in your brain, but you're not.
Right. Sometimes two friends become friends because they both hate the same person. But then eventually, what happens when you run out of things to talk about that person. Like, what do you talk about?
You don't actually have anything in common because you spend so much time just gossiping.
Have you ever had those friendships where you're like, wait, do we do anything but gossip?
I've had one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And I knew when I saw her name come up on my phone. I think so, I love the quote, small minds talk about people. And
so you were small-minded.
My texting stream with her was so small-minded. And I remember I started to feel it whenever her name would pop up. I would think, we're not going to talk about even the news that day. Like, this will be about a person or mm-hmm. some level of drama that's not even dramatic. And I'd click mm-hmm. it, and it just made me feel like your day's going forward, and then you get this text, and you're going like you're going backwards because you're just talking about people.
That's exhausting. What made you shift from? Because I mean, obviously, we all are. Sometimes we enjoy a little gossip, even as much as I try to say I don't. And I'm always like, I'm not like other girls. Like I don't do that, which I try not to. But of course, when I know and catch myself not in the great headspace, sometimes I do that. I try not to, obviously. So how do you? So again, we all enjoy sometimes gossiping. So then how do you finally switch with, how did you do the switch where first you were enjoying gossiping with her and then one day you were like, wait, all we do is gossip. I don't feel like answering the text.
Ratios. So like.
Did something change in your life that suddenly you paid attention?
Yes, yes. Me moving and experiencing more gave me a lot of perspective on life. Mm. And I think what it is like, because I agree with you. When somebody's like, I never gossip, it's like, you're human. Yeah. And yes, you do.
Right.
So I love my friends that are 80% positive. And then we have that 20% where I know I can call them and be like, motherfucker, listen, I'm about to drop a ball. And she's like, I'm here. Right. But if it's constantly her name pops up and I'm like, here goes the drama. But it's like, if I can do an 80-20 with you or a 90-10, like I'll feel really safe. But if we're at 100% of just talking about people, mm-hmm. it's like, I know your texts with all your other friends are also 100% about people and I'm one of those people.
But do you think at first you were enjoying it because you were in a different state in your life? And then when you were slowly maybe working yourself or whatever, that's why it made a switch and you were like, ah, okay, you know what? I'm already going forward. I don't feel like doing this today.
To be honest, I don't think we were as close back in the day. And I think, just bluntly put, whenever like we started this podcast, when I got to Barstool, like I was a fun commodity to be a friend with. Mm. And I think she sought me out a bit more. And her way of bonding with people was through gossip. So I just got more texts.
Yeah. I've noticed that sometimes people are making new friends with you and their first thing. It's happened to me before. And the first thing is just to just tell me information that I didn't ask for. But it's so hard for me to fake my who I am, that my face will just change. It's like, you'll be able to tell it because I'll just go, oh. Because my brain, I think, okay, cool. Thanks for letting me know. I will never be able to trust you.
Yeah.
Right, we just met and you're telling me stuff I didn't even ask for.
Yes.
They don't know that though.
No.
Like they don't understand. Because
they think they're bonding.
Oh, yes. They're like, you're welcome. She's going to respond back and give me a little nugget.
Yes.
And it's like, no, no, no. I just shut you off forever.
And I'm like, no, no, no. That's not scary. Only am I Russian, I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Like I am a vault. With people's information.
Yeah.
Being trustworthy.
What's your sign?
Cancer.
Aw.
I'm a Gemini.
Nice.
But I love astrology. I have a lot of Scorpio friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're Cancer. You're so emo.
Am I? I don't know. Or what's my other one?
So she's a Gemini moon and a Libra rising.
Libra rising. And I identify with the Libra one, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also Libra rising. And
I'm a Sag rising. Look at us. We're so social.
Yeah. I was going to say, you have like, I get the Scorpio vibes, but you have like this like witty sense of humor. I'm like, you're not full Scorpio.
People always think I'm a Leo.
Oh, okay.
With my jokes. Yeah.
Is that dry? Is a Leo dry?
I was going to say Virgo.
Don't. So,
well, then, one of my good friends is Virgo, and she's so witty and like has like a dry sense of humor.
Well, yeah,
I mean, that humor where she just did where she's like, "Get out!" Like, I'm like, "Oh my god!"
I think people think I'm a Leo because sometimes I'm always feel like I'm performing. So a lot of times I'll be like, "All right, I'm here."
Yeah, that is Leo energy,
but it's more as a joke.
Yeah,
I just like being myself. I think I spent so many years growing up where I wanted to fit in. So I was more of a follower or just kept to be really quiet because I'm more of a loner in a lot of ways. So now as an adult, I've accepted myself. So I really try to continuously show up as myself, regardless if it upsets people. So yeah, that's just kind of who I am now, which some people like, some people don't, and it's okay.
I'm shocked you had a period of time where you were a people pleaser.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a lot of my childhood.
Yeah. Well, I guess it had to come from somewhere that you're unapologetically yourself, but it was either going to be you had always been like that or you had to make the switch.
I've always had a bubbly personality, but I kept to myself because I just really enjoyed my own company.
Which is, that's, yeah, that's fair too. But I think now I could never tell that you had a people pleasing like side.
Really? I still am though.
Really?
I don't like conflict. So I don't like disappointing people. Same. So as long as people give me my space, I'm a very loyal friend. Like I'll just do what I need to do to make you happy as long as it's not too much attention.
Yeah.
That's but like I think people tend sometimes feels like they will overstep with me because they confuse my kindness for weakness.
As Lana Del Rey would say.
Yeah.
As a Scorpio, then I start to, you know, after a few times, because first I won't pay attention. But once I pay attention, mm-hmm. it doesn't go well because I'm not really good at communicating. It's more like, okay, we're done.
I love that.
I'm going to remove you.
Wait, what's your moon sign?
Aquarius.
Okay. What you just said like resonates with me so much. We have none of the same signs.
But I think a lot of times it's your personality and how you grew up versus like where the moon was when you were born.
When you were born and where you were on the latitude and longitude line.
In my world, it's all sort of, I'm just kidding.
Wait, so I want to hear if you've ever had a toxic friendship and how you realized it was toxic.
Yes, I've had toxic friendships. How I realized they were toxic. I'm trying to decide which one I want to talk about. One's like a little... Is it a toxic friendship, though, if she, like, hooked up with the guy I was talking to and then, like, made me the bad guy?
Did she know that you were hooking up with him?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that's a bad friend.
Is that toxic, though?
I would say it's a bad friend, but tell me about that.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. It didn't feel toxic. It felt like a fuck you.
But it sounded like she manipulated you into making you feel like the bad guy,
yes,
which is toxic.
I tried to confront her about it. And she just looked at me and was like, and got up and walked off. And I was like, why do I feel crazy? Why am I feeling insane right now?
Well, it's kind of like when a boyfriend cheats on you and then you're so upset and you're like, okay, he's going to beg for me back, blah, blah. And he says, you know what? If I do that, then she's going to, you know, eat it up. Kind of like if a baby hits his head or does something. And then you say, oh my God, are you okay? The baby's like, oh, and the baby starts crying.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing where if they give too much attention to it, then they're going to, they know they're going to feel guilty and all that. So the boyfriend who cheats on you ends up kind of being like, okay, whatever.
Right.
And then you're the one that has to chase the boyfriend and be like, you broke my heart. You hurt me. Like, why don't you care? And they're just like, get over it. Move on. So you don't get the validation that you need that what they did was messed up. Why? Because they don't want to give that to you. Because if they do, then they will feel like a bad person and they don't want to feel like a bad person. So they'd rather avoid you. Because then if they admit it, God. Then they'll know they're a bad person.
Was she avoiding me because she knew I was right?
1,000%.
I have to call her after this and be like, I know it was in college, but I just understood.
She's like, we haven't talked in 8 years.
Well, that's how it works.
She gaslit me though.
It's not on purpose because it's just a human nature where... Like, have you never heard of someone, you break up with someone and then the other person makes you feel like you're the worst person in the world and they broke your heart and you go, I don't get it. You broke my heart. Why are you,
yeah.
Why are you acting like I'm the bad guy? Why are you ignoring me? And it's because if I ever have to see you, that's how the other person feels. If I ever have to see you, then I'll be reminded of the shit that I did to you, that I'm a bad person. So I'd rather avoid you because I don't want to feel bad about myself. And that's what happened with your friend.
Oh my God. No, I've not struggled with it. I have thought about it on occasion.
Really?
Yes, and I just was like, so I remember it happened. And we had similar haircuts at the time.
Okay.
And like, we looked identical from behind.
Was this in college?
This was in college. So one of my friends was like, saw you leaving last night. And I was like, no, because I wasn't there last night. And I was like, I slept in my bed. And they were like, no, I saw you. And I was like, oh. And so then I called the guy. And he was like, oh my God. Like, he told me. He's like, holy. And I'm like, she's like one of my best friends. So I remember I went downstairs in the sorority house. She was sitting on a couch and I was sitting on another couch. And I was like, yo, like, what did I miss? Like, walk me through it. Cause like, and I was like, if we can just apologize, like, we can move forward. And I remember she just looked at me and was like, well. And I was like, holy shit. Cause like, I wasn't yelling at her. I like wanted to talk through it. I have zero problem with conflict.
Yeah.
And I just was like, let's just talk about it. And then she proceeded to take all of her friends and just turn them all against me. And I was like, why
like
am
you
I?
You were being dramatic for being upset that she slept with the guy you were hooking up with.
Yes. Like I remember it traumatized me. And like, I was like, I'm being like mean girl.
That's horrible.
From and I remember I like drove home to my parents in the middle of the night and I was just like hysterical on the couch and I couldn't, now better because of it. I can tell you that now. It made me really strong. But like at the time,
your emotions were not validated because you were hurt, not just by the guy you were hooking up with. You were hurt by your really good friend who broke your trust and didn't communicate. And no one validated your emotions. And instead, you were the bad guy. So not only are your emotions not being validated, now you're being shamed for feeling those emotions. Yes. So you have no closure.
I had no closure. And we would go to parties and like these girls, they like I remember I was just like, I didn't do anything. Like the actual version, and it was just, they were so mean to me and I could not process it and I didn't understand why.
Those girls were probably so scared of her, so they were afraid to like go on her bad side because they didn't want to be a you.
Right.
And be victimized by her, like Regina George.
I was like, holy cow, because it wasn't like I was like, fuck you for doing that. I was like, yo, say it to my face and let's get to the other side because like I love you. Like I like loved her. Sad. I was like, we have a good thing going on here. And I just got blackballed.
It's so crazy. Right after college, something similar happened to me where my ex-boyfriend and I were broken up at the time. And I had two best friends. And for some reason, I never get suspicious. And I felt oddly suspicious, like something was off. And when they left the room, I opened one of the girls' phones and I just searched my name. Mm-mm. And in my name it said, please make sure, like, when do you think, like, do you think Violet's suspicious that I'm talking to her ex? Like, when do you think she'll know? And I saw those texts, like, in a movie and I was just like, and I wasn't, and it's the same way as you. My ex and I mean, we got back together eventually after that. We were together for like 8 years. But I wasn't upset that she was getting with my ex at that moment I was over him. It was more, why wouldn't she just ask me like for permission to date my ex who I've been with so many years with? We're best friends. So when he came back in the room, I was like, hey, are you talking to my ex? And they're like, oh my God, this is so awkward. And I said, I'm not mad. Like, it's okay. Which I think they even got more upset about that, which was really weird. They thought I'd be mad about that. But I said, we're friends. Like, why wouldn't you just ask me? And it got really weird. And they made me feel bad about as if something's wrong with me. And then they stopped speaking to me. And I think a few days later, I went out. And one of the girls, because it was the girl who wasn't hooking up with my ex, got a fake number. And in through the fake number, started sending me screenshots of pictures of me where I'm sitting and I have cellulite on my legs. And does close up. And she said, do you think this is why your ex doesn't want to be with you and you'd rather be with your friend? And I just like, that was shocking because I didn't do anything wrong. You guys were going behind my back to hook up with my ex. And now not only do you're not speaking to me, but now you're trying to bully me to make me feel bad about my appearance as if like I'm in the wrong.
That's horrible.
Exactly. But that's what happens when they flip it on you. And I remember I sent screenshots to my ex. And I was like, do you understand? Like, I can't believe you're talking to these girls. And he's just like, what do you want me to do about it? Whatever. You know, right. It is what it is. But that's a similar experience to you.
But what do you make of it? Like, what was her angle?
I think they wanted so badly not to feel bad. So they made me the bad guy.
Okay. So she just like bullied you. Like
her friend. The girl who was hooking up with him didn't do anything, but her friend got a fake number and they were texting me pictures of myself. And they're like, do you think that's why he wants to be with her and not you? Do you think this is probably why he left you?
And so it makes cellulite? Her feel like validated in what she's doing?
Yeah, because it's like to bully me, to laugh about it. And like, oh my God, she's such a loser. She can't get over it. Versus I was never mad you wanted my ex. I was like, go for it. You're going to get disappointed.
Yeah, and well, I just wish you would have said something. Yeah.
And so it seems like you've experienced something so similar.
But I never could understand where she was. I didn't even actually stop to think where she was coming from.
Well, of course, at the time, I didn't stop to think where she was coming from. And I'm more of an adult now, so many years ago. But I wasn't hurt. It was more, huh? This is so weird.
Confused.
It was confusion because the behavior didn't match the reality.
And it's we're pretty far gone to like start to then bully or like be mean to you, which is what the girl did to me and which is what the texts do to you, where it's like, whoa, 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 I wasn't mad at you. I think it would have been easier on them if we were like, yo, fuck you.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then she'd be like, yeah, fuck you back.
I think that's what they want. They want a conflict with us so badly in order to then validate that we're also the bad guy because both of us didn't show conflict and said like, wait, can you explain it to me? I'm just trying to understand. They were like, hello, I'm trying to make you the bad person. It's kind of when you're
partner wants to break up with you, or they're cheating on you, they start a fight with you in the hopes that you say something mean back. So then they can say, you see, that's why I did that to you.
Yeah, right. That's why I'm going to leave you now, because you are crazy. So in their heads, we were already the bad guys. And then they did that to us, and they went low and we went high. We were like,
well, it wasn't even high. It was just genuinely, the reality didn't make sense. I was confused. I'm like, even when they send the pictures, it's like, ha, okay.
Right. And then cool. They still didn't get a reaction out of us.
Yeah. My ex didn't want to be with me because I have cellulite. Bitch, I dumped him. Get it right.
Yeah. And I always told
him. And then it was a dumbass who got back with him. So actually, it's not like that.
He's like, and then there was one more circle where, whoops.
Yeah.
And I always told my friends, I said, be nice to her when you see her out. Like, I was like, we're not going to, like, war with them. They cannot like me. Oh. We're not going to be mean back. And, like, I'd see her and I'd be like, hi.
Did she ever come around and apologize?
Never.
How long were you hooking up with that guy for?
3 months, give or take. But, like, and that's not that long, but he was known mine.
But also in college, that's, like,
college.
3 years.
And well, you guys she was my best friend. And
yeah.
She was your knew. Best friend.
One, she's a top three in college for sure.
Did she continue sleeping with him?
Not that long, but a bit, yes. Yes.
Did
yes.
you stop sleeping with him?
Yes. Cold turkey.
Whoa. Yeah. Did he ever try to sleep with you again?
No, I don't think so. I think I made it pretty clear.
Are they married now?
No.
Can you imagine? Like married with five kids.
Yep. And they went on and it lasted forever. No. It didn't last. I think it lasted like a couple more weeks, maybe.
So then you had to stop speaking to that whole group of friends?
Why, yes, I very much so had to, because they just. I mean, it was a black ball. It was crazy. I just remember thinking, I would be like, hi, how are you? To like one of the other friends, good. And I was like, whoa. Like, we are all going to do it. It's me. I mean, I was like, man.
What did you learn from that friendship?
That's a great question. I think I learned, this is crazy. This is a really weird lesson, but I learned at the end of the day, which this is going to slightly contradict me saying I need my friends to believe in me. And I do, because my three best friends, I need them to know, like, it's a form of manifestation for me with them. Like, I just need them to know everyone's going to kick ass here. Go do your thing. But I learned I could take hate and, like, be okay. So I learned right then and there, like, I can either try and go get these girls back and we can all sing Kumbaya, and or I can say, fuck that. And I might as well just be like completely myself and not care how people respond to it. And like at the end of the day, if my head hits the pillow and like I'm good with me, I don't care what they think. And I was the people pleaser. And so it's helped me so much with content now. Like if we get hate comments on videos, people are like, how do you guys respond? And it's like, we don't. I don't even feel them. Because like I'm good with me. And so you take, I remember one time on an episode, I was like, people think our comments are bad. Like, live in a sorority house where eight blondes just hate you.
Literally.
And that's good. Like, that hurts worse. Like, still to this day, I'm like, thank you guys. You taught me, like, I don't care what people think.
Yeah.
As long as I'm good with me.
Exactly. Because when you're not sure about who you are, someone who's not sure about themselves will for sure end up telling you who you should be and you will believe them. But it's different where, like, thank God I was over my ex when that situation also happened to me. So I was more, huh? Because also somebody put Molly in my drink that night. It was the first time because of that I had Molly. So I was already going through a down thing, and then I'm getting the text and I was just like, okay, it's too much then. Okay, somebody roofied me and I'm getting those texts. It was just too much. So I ended up kind of going over my head. Thank God.
Honestly, you had perspective because you had like a larger problem to deal with.
Yeah.
But that's how small that should be.
But that was one of the craziest experiences, where the fact that somebody got a phone to send a fake text or from a fake number to pictures, close-ups of my cellulite. How weird is that?
It's still crazy.
It's
also,
so
they have too
crazy.
Much time on their hands.
Literally.
A lot of energy in the wrong way.
So much energy.
Yeah. What did you learn from your friendship breakup?
That's a really good question. I feel like I can't feel bad about putting my own mental health first. It kind of also taught me that it's okay to be a little selfish when I pick and choose my friends. Like, I had to end that really, or that friendship to benefit myself. And like, that's okay. Like, the world didn't end by ending that friendship, and that person's okay too. But I had to like choose me.
But I wonder, I love that, but I wonder, how can you tell the difference between when it's okay to be selfish and when it's not okay to be selfish, because we're always taught to not be selfish. But then a lot of times then we end up just sacrificing ourselves. And my mom always taught me, you can't be everything for everyone else and nothing for yourself. So then how do you kind of stay in the middle?
I feel like I can't, I mean, I, for me, I can say in that relationship, like it was one sided, like it was draining me. Like I had to get out of it. But then I, like me and my best friend were like, we're so like, the scale is so even, like she's so there for me. I'm so there for her. So it's almost like my energy leaves, but then it like gets back in because she helps fill it. I don't know. I guess like just like my intuition knows now when it's okay to be selfish and when it's not.
Have you guys ever experienced a friendship breakup where it wasn't you initiating the breakup? It was your friend who decided that you guys were going apart or decided that she wanted to do other things and you just weren't in the know about it and your heart was getting broken.
Yep.
Go on.
I have one where that's so funny to think back to it, but yeah, she had outgrown me, I think. Yeah, and I remember still trying to text her or like call her or send her funny things, and I either wouldn't get a response or I would just get like a haha, and I was just like, whoa. And I remember I had to finally write, I think I made it worse than it needed to be. I think if I had my advice now where it's like, we could just grow apart and that could be okay. We could, it's like, I think I just was like, wait, but why? And I didn't understand it. And so I finally wrote her a letter on a sheet of paper just of like, this is what's going on in my head. This is what I think you think of me. This is how I feel about the whole thing. And you let me go and that hurt me, probably hurt my ego. I couldn't process it. Wrote the whole letter, crumpled it up, threw it away and like felt a lot better about it. Because I had this narrative in my head.
Oh, you wrote it and you threw it out. You didn't give it to her.
Yeah, I didn't give it to her.
So that was a way for you to heal, would you say?
It was really healing because I never had stopped to think, like, what is my narrative on the situation? And in my head, it was just she was being mean to me.
Right.
But when I wrote it out, I was like, she's not being mean to me. She's trying to create distance and my ego's hurt.
No, she was being, sure. But sometimes it's not ego. It's also your whatever defense mechanisms or things that you adapted as a child growing up that helped protect you or whatever, or that hurt you, are now triggering as an adult. So she was being mean to you because you felt abandoned by her. So it's not that she hated you, she was abandoning you. And that's where your heart was getting broken a little bit, because with friendships, it's hard for us to understand that, because with partners, we're like, oh, right, that person is abandoning me. I feel like I have no one. But with a friend, it's more, oh, well, because right now you're trying to kind of justify by invalidating your feelings by saying, well, you know, I should have just understood we're growing apart and I should have just been okay with it. Instead, I was being like, oh, that's so dramatic. And I wrote a letter, but you were feeling abandoned.
And okay, all right. So let me not unvalidate my feelings. And let me add this into the equation where I called her, because again, I really don't struggle with conflict. So I called her and I was like, hey, I feel like you're giving me the cold shoulder. And two wrongs don't make a right. So if you're mad about something, can you do me the service of telling me on this phone call? And she's like, I'm not mad about anything. So in that scenario, I think she could have been mad about something and she didn't tell me. And I think that's a little fucked up if somebody opens up the space to say, tell me. I think you owe it to maybe not every scenario, but I think it would be nice to just have the balls to be like, you know what? I'm going to tell you.
I think it also gives you the space and understanding where your friendship or relationship with a person stands based on how much effort they put into that relationship. And if you're already, you know, giving your hand as much as possible and at this point you're saying, hey, let's open a conversation, then at least you can feel good that I did everything I could. I tried to first have a friendship. I reached out to kind of better understand. And at this point, she's not giving anything back. So that will tell you where your relationship actually stands.
You're right. It did. And it gave me and at that point, it's like I should be able to move on without being guilty of myself. Because like I did try.
How did you feel after she said, I'm not mad about it? You were just like, okay, F it?
I still couldn't get to F it because I was still in that if somebody doesn't want to be my friend, like I did something wrong, headspace way back in the day. This is like right after college. But I was a lot better off there because I asked myself, what more could I do? And it's like, there was nothing more that I could do besides call her.
So then after that, to heal from it, that's when what helped you cope with your friendship breakup was to then write a letter to her and how you felt and throw it out?
Yeah, just crumple it up and you don't send it.
Did that completely help you heal from it?
It was the weirdest thing. It almost to the day, like, I got over it. And I've written letters to people since then and thrown them away and it hasn't worked. But in that certain scenario, boom.
Did you ever hear from her again?
Nope.
You know, those type of friendships where you realize, or dating-wise, when you realize if I stop reaching out, the reality is that we will never speak again.
Yep.
That's like the most heartbreaking moment.
Right.
Because like when you're like, I always ask you to hang out first. I always initiate it. And then you're like, wow, if I just stopped, you wouldn't even notice. And then next thing you know, we wouldn't even be talking.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced that?
I was trying to think, and I don't think fully that someone's ever like broken up with me in a friend way. But like, I've had friends where I've fully put in the effort and that's like broken my heart, where like you realize like, if I just stop, like, will we even talk anymore? And it happened a lot when I was in high school and my friends would get boyfriends.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden you'd be like, I'm asking you to hang out every single week. And in college too, like, I'm always like asking you to do this and you to do this. And then like, you're like, wow, if I like didn't reach out, you just would stop. Like, we would just stop being friends. And then like they break up with their boyfriend. And then like next thing you know, they're like back texting. You're like, all right, cool.
I hate friendships like that are so annoying. Just be consistent.
Literally.
It's so annoying. Because I've had those friends in the past where you don't exist. None of their friends exist when they have a boyfriend. But then every time they break up, they come back around. And first you're forgiving. Second time you're forgiving. But the third or fourth time you're like, you know what? At this point, you made your own bed. Like,
yeah.
Sorry. If you can't figure out how to maintain both, like, come on.
Yeah.
It's unfair. I'm going to have to always be there for you when you're going through a breakup. But not your friend when you're going through happy times.
It's really unfair for the single friend any friend.
Do you guys have any tips to close off this episode? Do you guys have any tips for anyone listening on how to make new friends in your mid to late 20s or in your 30s? Like, is there a way for people to make new friends?
I think so, because yeah. I think making the friends not out, you can make them out and about, of course, but I love making friends at like a workout class or, okay, going to things alone. That's where I've made the most friends. When I go to events alone and I don't have somebody with me, and I have to like walk up and just introduce myself to people, a lot of times I'm like my most honest self, and I typically walk away with some kind of a connection or a friendship, and I like love that moment. So going to things alone.
Right.
So when I moved to New York, I went on Bumble BFF and I made 4 friends that way.
So that actually works.
It actually works, yes. It was lucky though, because like moving to a new city, it's a little bit easier. Like, if I was still living in Minnesota, I don't know if I would have the same advice, because when you go to a new city, you have an excuse to go on Bumble BFF. You know what I mean? You're like, I'm new. Like,
well, you can pretend to be new anywhere you are.
That's true. But I think too, it pushed myself to go outside my comfort zone.
Oh.
And like Alex said, going to events alone, it's so terrifying. But like, I have made a few really good friends from doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. So try to go places alone and then you're forced to talk to people.
And Bumble BFF works.
Okay, do you guys have any last advice for anyone listening when it comes to handling toxic friendships or friendship breakups?
I think the biggest advice would be you will continue to make friends your entire life. Like, I used to think, like, if I don't make friends in my 20s, I'm never going to have friends. But it's like, no, I'll probably meet some of my best friends in my 30s and my 40s, 50s, right. 60s.
I think it's find comfort and it's not black and white. So it's not this, it's over forever and we're going to hate each other. It's just, you can outgrow them. I love that you said that. You can outgrow the friendship and you can both still love each other and wish each other well. And so you don't have to be so scared of it ending.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't always assume everything's your fault and it's because you did this and this, you're just projecting. And yeah.
And maybe no one's like, there's no fault. It's just like, love you. We're going to grow apart here. I'm going to still send you good vibes and you do it for me. This is not a I hate you, you hate me moment.
Yeah. I think one thing I learned the most about friendships I would say the last couple of years is actually just how much you really do need friends, that you can't do everything alone, because I'm more of a loner and I thought I could always do everything myself. And I think for me, it helped me appreciate my friendships more because I've always been that girl that was more dependent on my boyfriend. So that helped me learn that like you need friends and they're just as important and you should nurture those friendships and you should figure out each other's boundaries. But it's nice to have people that you love and care about.
I like that.
That's a really good one.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Where can people find you?
Oh, at Jordan Woodruff on everything and at Mean Girl Pod on everything.
And I'm at Just Alex Bennett, like the justice in it. J-U-S-T Alex Bennett on everything.
Okay, and also you guys can catch my episode with them on their podcast, Mean Girls. Mean Girls?
Girl. Mean Girl. Okay, Mean Girl.
On their podcast, Mean Girl. Sometime, I don't know, check it out. It's either coming out or already came out based on whenever this episode came out. Okay, cool. Thank you guys so much for listening. And don't forget to follow them, listen to their podcast, and DM them if you have any questions.
Yay, thank you for having us.
Bye.